Good evening, everyone. God bless you all. It's a joy to be here. We're just thinking several times on the way up here. It's been a while since we've been here, and it was just a joy to be coming here again. So we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always a blessing to be in the presence of those who are seeking the face of God. I want to encourage the young people here this week. You know, when a young heart is seeking God, when a young heart is willing to be discipled, when they're willing to be taught, when they're willing to open up their life and get into the Word and seek God, I was just thinking, what will God do? Well, God will use you. God is faithful. So I just want to encourage you, this week, this time set aside, may it be to seek the Lord. And I was thinking, what does it mean to seek the Lord? Does it mean to be here with your friends? You know, I want you to know that I don't put that down. That's a very big thing in life. Choose your friends carefully. It's a blessing to be in the midst of friends who will encourage you in your walk with God. You know, if there's nothing left but to stand alone, we miss the joy of brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so this is a great privilege for you to be here with your friends who can come alongside you and say, amen, me too, let's seek God together. That's a great blessing. That's a good way to seek the Lord, to do it together. I also believe that to seek the Lord means to learn the mind of Christ. To think like He thinks. To get your priorities arranged like His priorities are arranged. That will affect your thinking greatly. And so to learn the mind of Christ and to do the things that He did. To respond like He responded. To follow in His steps. To see a need and to give counsel, the very counsel that He would give. This is what it means to have the mind of Christ, to suffer wrong like He suffered, just to make Jesus Christ the pattern for your life. That's seeking God. To be molded into the image of God's dear Son. May that be reality for each of you here this week. That's why we're here. We were invited to come and encourage you to do that. And so that's our desire. That's what's on our heart tonight. You know, I remember reading about a great sculptor who lived years ago somewhere in Europe. His name was Michelangelo. And he completed a great work that he titled David. It was one of his masterpieces. Somehow, out of cold, hard stone, this man carved away to create a very real image of David. And it was so real that one of his friends even came to him afterwards, I heard, and said, Michelangelo, how did you do that? I mean, how did you, out of cold, hard stone, how did you make it look so much like David? So lifelike, so like David. And Michelangelo said, you know, I just chipped away. And I just kept chipping away everything that did not look like David. And I know that's got a little bit of a light side to it, but may that be your reality experience here this week. That God would just keep chipping away everything that does not look like Jesus Christ. That does not fit the pattern. And you know, I know that it's really a little different than that because Jesus changes the life from the inside out. But there's some reality there because when we are molded into the image of Christ, there are some things that have just got to go. Amen. And it's just going to require some continual chipping. Continual cutting away of the flesh. You know, I grew up in a home where there was lots of sewing done. My mother was often on her knees and she would put a pattern down on material, and she would cut out the pattern. And I saw that happening all through my growing up years. And I learned what it means to cut out a pattern. It means anything outside of the pattern, anything that doesn't fit the pattern, needs to be cut off. Or it won't come out right. Brothers and sisters, may that be reality. Through the Word of God, through the teaching, through the guiding of the Holy Spirit this week, may God lead you and guide you as you are molded into the image of God's dear Son. That's what we have on our heart this evening, is that everyone here, I'll say it this way, that no one here would keep back any area of your life that God would desire to chip away, and you refuse to give God the hammer and the chisel. You refuse to give the Holy Spirit liberty. What a price we will pay. May our experience this week be liberty for God. Let's have a word of prayer. Oh God, we desire so greatly that You would be in our midst this evening, that we could be an encouragement in Your kingdom, to encourage these youth to seek Your face together. Bless the friendships that they make here. May it be an encouragement to each one to press on. As the song said, to press on the upward way, to gain new heights every day. And Father, this week, would You give each one the grace to give You the hammer and the chisel and liberty by the Holy Spirit to reveal any needs in their life, to lead them in the paths of all truth. Father, we remember Brother Denny standing here and just saying, that's what Christian means. It means you're a little Christ. And Father, I just pray that for each of these young hearts here, that they could have the mind of Christ. They could have their priorities adjusted so that they would think like Christ thinks. Do like He does and follow in His steps. Father, use them in Your kingdom, we pray. Bless this evening. Guide us as we seek Your face through Your Word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That is our desire this evening, that no one here would hold back any area of your life from the altar of sacrifice before God. No secret sin. I mean, if there's opportunity today and there's a secret sin in your life, just get that thing out in the open and get heaven clear and be set free. You can do that this week. No need to hide. No private agenda. May God reveal to you the grief that's going to bring you in the future. Just lay that thing down and just yield your heart to God's will for your life. No commandment refused. Just open your heart to the Word of God. Whatever He wants. Isn't that the meaning? Right here. Anything, Lord. Anything. No commandment refused. No room for your stubborn will. No part of your will unbroken before God. And I don't know if that sounds like perfection to you here this evening. I want you to know, we're not talking about perfection, but we are talking about openness and commitment before the living God. That God would have liberty. That's our encouragement. That's the pattern of the life of Christ. That's the way Jesus did. That's an exciting road. That's when, you know, fasten your seatbelt. God is on the throne. We got ourselves out of the pilot's seat. God is in it. Let's go with God. He will use us in His kingdom. I like to look at the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was King of Kings. He was Lord of Lords. And He laid it all aside, the whole thing, and took upon Him the form of a servant. Now, that's a long ways, brothers and sisters. King of Kings! He laid His kingship down and took upon him the form of a servant. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He stooped and washed the disciples' feet. I just challenge us, if Jesus did that, if that's the pattern, how much should we be willing to do? He had glory. And he laid it all aside to be despised and rejected of men. He laid that glory down. He came to his own and his own received him not. If Jesus Christ did that much out of love and obedience to the Father, how much should we be willing to do? He had eternity. He had power, all power. And he laid it all down to just simply become a man and be found in fashion as a man. He had life. He had eternal life. But he had life and he laid it down. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is the pattern. He had joy, unlimited joy, with the Father. And he laid it down to become a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This is the pattern. And brothers and sisters, if Jesus did that much, how wide should we open our hearts here this week? To let God have His way. That is when God will use us. And He became sin for us. That's a hard one to get a hold of. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And however you want to explain all of that, it was so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's a tremendous meditation, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we just read right over that one and we say amen. But hey, hold on a minute here. What that means is that He didn't just make a way so that we get to go to heaven now. He made us, through the provision of God, just as righteous as God is. Can you get a hold of that? We are made the righteousness of God in Him. This is reality. This needs to be stamped upon our heart. It rearranges our priorities. It changes our mind and our thought patterns. And what that means for us tonight is that now it's our turn. Now it's our turn to hold nothing back. To give God complete liberty. Because He is so worthy. Those of us who have found salvation in Jesus Christ, we owe Him everything. Amen? Would we be together in that tonight? We owe Him everything. Amen? And all the people said,
amen.
Let's not hold anything back because He is worthy. And you know, the Bible makes it very clear. When we have given everything that we have, when we hold nothing back, when He has our all in all, the Bible makes it very clear that is the least that we could do. We're just unprofitable servants. We've only done that which was our duty to do. And so I want the title tonight for this message to be a full surrender. Nothing held back. Just right in line with what we have up here. Anything, Lord. Anything. A full surrender. Nothing kept back. I want to take our Bibles this evening. I want us to know, I think I'll say this first, that if that is what you want, a full surrender, nothing held back before God, then you're going to have to let God get very, very practical with you. If we don't, then we're going to be holding something back from God. Otherwise, it's not a full surrender. Anything, Lord. Give God liberty to put His finger on any area of your life. When God deals with a person, He always deals with their time in prayer. I'll just tell you. When God deals with a person, He always deals with their time in the Word. There's just no way to grow without it. But God always deals with young people. He will deal with the authority you have with your parents, with their authority they have with you. He will deal with your appearance. He will deal with very practical things. And if we hold back on those things, it's not a complete sacrifice. And our desire this evening, our encouragement for you, is to give God liberty in everything. I would like to turn to Romans chapter 12. We're not going to be going through a lot of scriptures this evening, but I want to go to this one. Romans chapter 12. The scriptures give us no other option than a complete sacrifice. There's no other option in the scripture. I have not found it if it's there. God is interested in a full surrender. And so let's just read here, and I'm going to be making several comments as we go through this, but let's just follow here. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And I want us to notice that this is a beseeching here. This is a plea from the heart of God, and I believe it's to you young people here this week. There is a plea from God. A plea is more than just having truth laid out before you. This is more than just getting the facts. I mean, that's been happening all through the book of Romans. That's included in the word therefore right here. Because of all these facts that God has been giving through Brother Paul here in the book of Romans, because of our great need, because there's none righteous, no, not one, because of the great provision of God, because there is therefore now no condemnation, because of all of these facts, the truth of God's word, now because of these facts, there's a plea. I beseech you, brethren, and this brethren is all of us, brothers and sisters, boys and girls alike, there is a plea. And it's a very gentle plea. It's a plea by the mercies of God. It's like 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, when Paul said, I beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. That's a gentle beseeching. That's what's here. I beseech you because of all that God has done. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now I want to think about what a sacrifice is for just a little bit. God is not interested in each of you coming up with something and walking up to the altar and laying your gift or your donation upon the altar and then walking away. That is not the heart of God in this passage of Scripture. A sacrifice is different than a donation. A donation is something you have that you can give and it doesn't really touch you. It's like Jesus watching those pour out of their abundance into the treasury there in the temple. They didn't miss it. They didn't need it. They gave a donation. But God is interested in a sacrifice. That's when you give when it hurts. That's when you give of yourself. I've heard it illustrated before. It's like ham and eggs for breakfast. A chicken can lay an egg and donate the egg and walk away and that chicken is fine. But if you have ham, it's a sacrifice. I preached that one time in a Baptist church and there was a young man back there and he goes, "Yai!" Get this preacher out of here, you know. He's got to clean our hide. But I just want you to know tonight, God is interested in a sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, a donation is not what God is speaking about here. Let's get a hold of the heart of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God is not interested in you placing something on the altar. He's interested in you climbing up on the altar and becoming the sacrifice. Big difference. And I want to say something about the sacrifice. What is it here? It's your bodies. There's a plea from the heart of God that we would present our bodies a living sacrifice. You know, brothers and sisters, we hear it said so often that it's what's inside that counts. You know, it's not what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside. You ever heard that? I mean, it's out there all over everywhere. But I want you to know something about your body. Your body is completely, totally, unquestionably both. Inside and outside. Your body. You take away the inside of your body, you don't have any life left. You take away the outside of your body and you find out it's so connected to the inside that you don't have any life left. They are inseparable in Scripture. A body has many members. Some of them are inside, some of them are outside. Many members, many parts, but one body. That's very, very scriptural. And even as the Scriptures teach about the ear and the eye and the foot, and one can't say to the other, I have no need of thee, but they're both outside and inside. Even the ear that seems to be on the outside, there's an inner ear. They go together. They function together. They cannot be separated in Scripture. I trust that we can stamp that clearly upon our minds this evening. And that's the plea here. Make your whole body a living sacrifice, inside and outside. Amen? I mean, that's exciting. That's what God wants. None of this inside-only stuff. It's not possible scripturally. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Words are an outward thing. But they're so connected to the inside, you can't separate the two. May God have His way. Let's keep reading. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, the whole thing, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Holy. That's God's burden for us, that every part would be holy. Not just the inside, not just part of the outside, the whole thing is holy. And acceptable unto God. Nothing else is acceptable with God. That's the burden we're going to see when we look at some more scriptures this evening. It's not acceptable to God. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What percentage of parts can you put together that they will mesh? It's not possible. Any part. And when you've done that, when you've yielded your whole body, every part, and been made holy before God, by the Holy Spirit of God, by the renewing of your mind, it's just your reasonable service. It's the least that we can do. Let's keep reading here. And I do want to say about service, which is your reasonable service. I think we all have a desire to be active in the vineyard of God, active in the service of the kingdom of God. But I want us to know this evening that there are too many people that desire to serve God with a cool spirit. There are too many people that want a position in the kingdom of God for their own glory and reputation. They are too many people that want to serve God, but they're not under the authority of their parents. They reject that part. They kept back part. But they want the blessing of God to serve in the kingdom. These things don't go together. There's too many people that want to serve God who are in a divorced and remarried condition. And it can't be. And it goes on here to say, and be not conformed to this world. And what that says is, this is just taking away the options. This says something about the sacrifice. The sacrifice is complete. There's nothing left to be conformed to this world. It's not possible. But be ye transformed. I've got some things I want to say about that. But it's by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's our desire this evening, is that we can prove. Take away all doubt. Prove what's acceptable with God. A complete sacrifice. Nothing held back. That's what a complete sacrifice does. It's acceptable with God. It's a reasonable service. Anything less is unacceptable. And I want to say something about be ye transformed. I said this many times. I've preached it many times. And there's probably some people that think I'm a little bit of a broken record. But I just want to tell you something tonight about a broken record. If the broken record is quoting Scripture, and you have not yet yielded yourself to that Scripture, you better not take that record off of the player. Be ye transformed. That Greek word there is metamorphosis. That explains what kind of sacrifice God is interested in. What is metamorphosis? I'll just tell you tonight, it's when a caterpillar goes through all the changes necessary to become a butterfly. And I want to tell you that it has a complete change. Many people say when you come to Christ, the thing that changes is your position. It's your position in Christ. And I say, amen! Praise God! But it's not just your position. The whole creature changes. I don't know if you ever noticed, but a butterfly doesn't look like a caterpillar. He doesn't think like a caterpillar. I mean, a caterpillar thinks crawl. A butterfly thinks fly. A caterpillar is just stuck to the ground. And a butterfly just defies gravity by the grace of God and flies away. Be transformed. I mean, have faith in the operation of God. Just climb up on that altar and yield yourself to the living God through faith in the operation of God. Hand God the knife. Hey, give God the hammer and the chisel and let Him go at it. Spin your cocoon. Trust God. I mean, that's what the Scriptures teach. Amen? The same thing doesn't get off of the altar that got on. Any man that's in Christ Jesus is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new in Christ. Inside and outside. Oh, brothers and sisters, it's beautiful. This is God's plan for the sacrifice. This explains the sacrifice. I want to say tonight, if you are holding something back, if there's an area of your life that you really don't want to bring out, if you want God, but you want this area left alone in your life, I'm going to let God speak to you on what that is. But let God be very practical as He speaks. If you insist on a cool spirit, if you insist on a tight blouse so that I can see your underclothes through that blouse, if that is what you insist on, if you insist having an ear for the fashions of this world. I mean, this is what it means to get practical. This is what God can do. He deals with us where we are. He reveals our hearts. If you need a reputation, if you're not under authority and you've got your list of reasons why you're not going to let God touch this area, if you can't forgive, if you can't love, if you're harboring bitterness, if you have a secret sin, if you love money, or anything like it, the Bible says, and such like, then you become a divided affection before God. Did you get that? If you harbor any of these things in your heart, you become a divided affection before God. And you are an incomplete sacrifice. There are other places in the Bible that call it other things to describe a divided affection. Malachi calls it polluted bread at the table of the Lord. It's a polluted offering. And if you connect that with the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." And it's because there's an incomplete sacrifice. There's something being held back. But you approach the table of the Lord, and God doesn't accept that kind of sacrifice. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and there's a point where you eat and drink damnation to yourself. This thing, God is serious about this thing. Other places in Scripture, it is called a mingled sacrifice, mixed in with other things, compromise with the voices of this world. Revelation calls it lukewarm. And we just have a burden tonight that we would get a clear picture of what God thinks of a divided affection, a mingled sacrifice, a polluted offering. Even if the offering is 90% pure, but 10% mingled, what does God think of lukewarm? What does the Scriptures teach? I will spew thee out of my mouth. What does James call it? You know, James doesn't beat around the bush too often. He usually just comes right. He just comes right out and calls it adultery. I think what he says there is, ye adulterers and adulteresses. That's how he calls it, adultery. And he's not really talking about moral impurity there. He's talking about a child of God having a heart and a drawing to the things of this world. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is the enemy of God. That's pretty clear. That's not moral impurity. That's a child of God connecting their heart with the things that this world has to offer them. That's why we're here this week. I want to encourage you, let God speak to you to reveal any areas that need to be brought to repentance. I believe that these things, this divided affection, has caused much confusion in the kingdom of God about who's a Christian and who isn't. I want you to think about this for a minute. Who's going to heaven and who isn't? Those questions, they'll about make you lose your mind if you try and figure them out. But I don't want any confusion this evening. The reason it's confusing is because there are many people with an unsanctified life. Have you ever seen this? A person with an unsanctified life that had a clear testimony for the Lord Jesus. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever heard that? It can be a little confusing. What does God think about that? And we're not here to judge them. Only God can do that. But let's not be confused by it or led into a life of loose living, thinking that that is acceptable with God because they have a testimony. I want you to think about something. A divided affection is still affection for God. It is. There are people who much of their heart does love God, but their affection also goes over here to things of earth. Their affection also goes over here to things of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And when that happens, that's a divided affection. There is affection there toward God, and out of that affection comes a testimony that they're more than glad to share because they want that blessing. But what does God think of a divided affection? Is He impressed with that testimony? No, He puts His finger on that part of their life that goes over here to the world. May God do that in such a gracious way to each of you this week. If there's some part of your life that's coming over here to feed the flesh, may God reveal to you what that is. I want you to continue to consider here. A polluted offering is still an offering. It is an offering unto God. Much of it is pure. Much of it is right. Out of that offering comes a testimony many times. And it can be confusing. But the pollution, just a small part of pollution that's there. What does God think of that pollution? I just want to read to you. I'll just tell you what it says there in Malachi. And the problem here is that they just simply, these men had neglected their wives. They had neglected the relationship that they needed to build with their wives. And you can just translate that into your relationship with your parents or your relationship with your brother or love or forgiveness or however this thing needs to be translated. But that's the problem that was here in Malachi. And God said about him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. This is the God of heaven that we're dealing with here this evening. It says, and this have ye done again. And this is the way they dealt with treacherously with their wives. But in the midst of that, they were covering the altar of the Lord with tears and with weeping and with crying out. I mean, there was an offering there that was beautiful. It was pure. But it says, insomuch that God regardeth not the offering anymore or receiveth it. And God said, I will not answer your prayer. But the offering was there. It was a polluted offering. I just want us to be impressed tonight. The only thing, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is a full surrender. Nothing held back before Him. Lukewarm, think about it, still has the effects of hot water. There's something hot there that makes it that way. But is God impressed with the warmth? No! He lays His finger on the other water that's in there. I mean, that's what lukewarm is. It's hot water with a cool spirit. And God said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. We need to get a hold of that. This is the heart of God. This is not acceptable with God. God is holy. That's what God said. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Hebrews talks about holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. God is serious about this thing. This is the will of God. Thessalonians says, even your sanctification, all of you, God hath not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Many, many people have a divided affection. A polluted offering, a mingled sacrifice, and it's not acceptable with God. I would like to turn to Matthew chapter 7 and read what God says about this. This is the Sermon on the Mount. I think I'm going to begin reading in verse 15. This passage of Scripture talks about some people that I have long wondered, who are these people? I would like to know who God is talking about. It says in verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And Jesus gives us a formula here to identify a wolf or a false prophet. He says in verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits, not by what they say. You can listen to their testimony and you won't be able to identify them. But look at their fruits. This is written in red. This is the heart of Jesus Christ teaching here among us. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And I want to challenge you with a little extension of that. Do men gather figs, half figs, and half thorns? Is it a fig or a thorn tree? See, this is not acceptable with God. By their fruits ye shall know them. Why is it not acceptable? Because he goes on to say it's not even possible. He said, Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. That's what happens. If your heart is right before God, if you are a pure sacrifice, and an offering unto God, you are going to have good fruit. And if you don't have good fruit, you've got a problem in your heart. That's what Jesus is teaching here. Are you with me? This is the Word of God. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit every time. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. It's just not possible. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. It's just telling you here that this kind of offering is not acceptable with God. We need to have a pure and a full surrender to be accepted. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now here's these people. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God here? It's a complete sacrifice. Right. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. That's pretty good talk. I'm impressed by it. I am. I love it. Lord, Lord. They're not the ones who enter the kingdom of God. It's the ones whose life has a full surrender, good fruit, a complete sacrifice. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Who are these people? God, I look at that verse and I just try to think through that thing, and I see about two options here. Either they didn't cast out devils and thought they did, or else they did cast out devils but were rejected by God because their offering of their life was not complete and pure. I don't see any other options here. God says, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And what that means to me is, I believe to us, is that even when we do good things, if we're holding something back, and the testimony of our life is incomplete, our surrender is incomplete, even our good works are not acceptable with God. Would that be taking it too strong? I mean, I think Proverbs even says the plowing of the wicked is evil. Well, there's nothing wrong with plowing, but I'm just saying, whenever a person is not accepted with God, they don't have any good works that are going to help. Amen? May God impress this. We need to be right with God. That's the burden that's on our heart this evening. And I'm greatly sobered as I thought about this subject. I don't want anyone here to be deceived. I trust that we're not presenting anything off balance. We only want to present the Scriptures. I'll just tell you, and I'm going to speak here a little bit as a father. I'll be 60 here right soon. I've been down the road, I'm a little ahead of you down the road, and now I'm going to call back. And you can speak to some other brothers here that have been down the road, and they'll just tell you, those little areas of your life that you think are insignificant are not insignificant. The devil's got his hand on that thing, and he's going to work in that thing, and he will destroy your faith in God. He will turn you around from the kingdom of God and invite you into His kingdom when those little things are not dealt with. I don't want anyone to be deceived here this evening. I don't want to condemn anyone. I want to encourage us to a pure life and a pure walk with God. It is not shocking to me. I don't think it's shocking to any of us when the judgment of God falls and lands on a rebellious sinner's heart. We know that God judges sinners. God is angry with the wicked every day. And when His judgment lands upon them, we know that's the Word of God. But when a professing child of God, someone that has a testimony, someone that we have worshiped with in church, someone that we know, when the judgment of God lands upon their life, it shocks us. Amen? It should. I'm talking now about Ananias and Sapphira. The judgment of God landed on them. Would we be together in that? It came down very clearly. Ananias died. Sapphira died. And when they died, when they fell down at the Apostle Peter's feet, the Scripture says, great fear fell upon all the church. Great fear! I mean, can't you just picture it? Whoa. Whoa. God is serious about this thing. I mean, can you imagine the hush that would fall? Think about experiencing the reality of seeing a fellow Christian who took a stand for God in the city of Jerusalem, sold everything they had, brought their donation to the feet of the apostles, slain by God. Have we lost our shock over the story of Ananias and Sapphira? I believe the people stood around and they said, now wait a minute. These were not rebellious people. I can see how they would say that. They had an affection for God. They did. They had a sacrifice. They had an offering. But it was polluted. And you can say, well, Brother Dale, but they lied. They lied. Let me challenge you. What do you think you're doing when you hide a secret sin? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. And what was their sin? We know what it was. They kept back part, right? They had an offering. They had a sacrifice. It was probably bigger than most of yours and mine. But they kept back part. And let's not let this Ananias and Sapphira thing be money only. That'd be a great mistake. Let's get a hold of the heart of God here. It's about anything in our life that we keep back from God to please ourselves. You know why I believe we've lost the shock about the story of Ananias and Sapphira? Because our churches have accepted too many people who are holding something back from God, and they are in full fellowship in our churches. They are accepted, they are blessed, and they are unquestioned. And they are given liberty to work in the kingdom. Malachi says that Jesus Christ is going to sit as a refiner's fire and purify the sons of Levi. I'm just going to tell you, if you're holding something back in your heart from God, anything, then you have your fellowship with Ananias and Sapphira. And you will never smoke them out like the Holy Ghost did because you're having too sweet a fellowship with them. I think many times our churches today may be very full of Ananias and Sapphiras and the rich young rulers because we're willing to accept an expression instead of looking at the fruit. God give the church leaders some wisdom like the Apostle Peter had, that anointed discernment. I believe God is willing to cleanse us. May the fear, the great fear that fell upon all the church, land upon us tonight. And let's not point fingers at Ananias and Sapphira. Let's consider our own life before God. May that fear fall upon us here tonight. If you are keeping back any part of your life, your heart, your will, your agenda, anything, what's the difference between you and Ananias and Sapphira? Be honest before God. May God have His way. Not only is it possible for us to keep something back from God, it's possible to take something back. Something that we have already given. Now, I don't want to be too lengthy here because I know we've had a big day. But I want to share something that I think Brother David Gibbs shared years ago. He just said that there was a young man buying a piece of property. And he wanted to know where the lines were and the boundaries and everything that went with the property. So the seller and the buyer walked in detail the entire perimeter of this property that he was buying. And he said, now where's the line? Well, right here at this stake is where the line begins. this is your property over this way, and it goes down this way. Well, what about the house? Is it on the property? Yes, this is the start of the line. The house is on the property, and it goes back here. Well, what about the barn back here? That's on your property too. That's included. The property line goes right back here, and they walk together back to a corner stake, and they made a turn. And he asked, well, now, what about this 20 acres of woods back here? Is this part of the property? Yes, that is part of your property. That is included in the price that you are paying. And they walk along the fence of the property to another corner stake. And well, what about this other storage building over here? Is it included? Yes, that is included in the property. It's on the inside of the line. Here is the line. And they just talked back and forth. How about the creek over here? Yes, the property goes beyond the creek and then comes up from this corner stake. And they walked it together. It was very clear. There was no question. This is part of the property. And so the sale was made and the price was paid. And the deal was closed. And the new owner possessed the land. But down the road, the seller developed a new interest. And he needed that barn. And he came back and he said, that wasn't really the property over there. This barn is still mine. I need this barn for some other interest that I'm doing. And the property goes inside the barn. And that is my barn. And this creek back here, I have a use for this, and the property is this side of the creek. That is not part of the property. And I need this extra storage shed over here. And he went on, we know how ridiculous this is. But brothers and sisters, this is exactly what Christians do with the God of heaven who bought them. Gave everything to God. And down the road, the enemy put seeds and thoughts in their mind, and they began taking back areas that they had already given to God. Let God speak to you this week. May none of these things be reality in your heart. In closing, I want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's turn there. I would like to just read a few passages of Scripture here to just strengthen us that God is not willing to accept an incomplete sacrifice. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now here's about five questions that God asks in the Scriptures. And I want you to give the answer. Think about it in terms of a percentage. What percentage of one will join with the other? What concord, what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. That's your body. That's your body that's to be a living sacrifice. Metamorphosis on the altar of God. Ye are the temple of God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now I want to challenge us. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? 50% of one and 50% of the other, and you just put them together and mix them together, and you've got half and half. Is that the way it works? It's not possible. How about 75-25? No, that's not possible. How about 90%? 90% of righteousness and 10% of unrighteousness, and just kind of mix it in a little, maybe stick it inside so you can't see it. How that work? No! How about 99% righteousness and 1% unrighteousness? What fellowship? None. Every one of these is zero. What concord hath Christ? Jesus Christ would be Belial. Jesus said, the devil hath no place in me. Not 1%, not 0.1%, nothing. Why is God so concerned about even 1%? Why isn't God satisfied with 99% righteousness? Why doesn't He just rejoice in the 99 that safely lay? What is it about the 1%? Well, I believe there's a very scriptural reason why. And it's because evil pollutes good. I just want that to settle in on our hearts this evening. Evil pollutes good. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little, just a little bit of leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In Matthew 13, when Jesus spoke there of the kingdom of heaven, I want to read that to you. It says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Leaven is sin in the scripture. Unleavened bread, that's the symbol of Jesus Christ. And there's 2 things in this passage of scripture that indicate the tactics of the devil. It's just a little leaven. And the other thing is she hid. She hid it. That's the devil's way. He likes to hide. He doesn't want you to know what he's doing. He just takes a tiny little bit and he hides it in your life. That's the devil's tactics. That's what he wants to do to the kingdom of God. And that's our cry this evening, is that men of God could rise up and identify that leaven and deal with it like the Holy Ghost dealt with Ananias and Sapphira. Not out of anger, out of love, but out of zeal for God's righteousness like Jesus had for God's house. We can do that in love. We can. If we join together, the devil likes to do things in secret. Certain men crept in among you unawares. He doesn't want you to know what he's doing. He likes to get it done in secret. That's the way he sowed tares among the wheat. How did he do it? While men slept. Amen? That's what God wants to do in your life, young people. It's high time to wake out of sleep. Let's be alert. I love the scripture to walk circumspectly. Circumspectly means circumference. That's all the way around a circle. That means alert in 360 degrees. There's no opportunity for the enemy to get in. God give us watchmen. God give us fathers. God give us youth. That's way. Who are alert, guarding the kingdom of God. Evil pollutes good. One bad apple, amen, spoils the whole barrel. One good apple does not sanctify the whole barrel. It destroys the good apple, amen. God asked Haggai, God said, if an unclean thing touches a clean thing, is the unclean thing made clean? I'll say it again. If an unclean thing touches a clean thing, is the unclean thing made clean? No. Haggai said no. Why? Because evil pollutes good. Even in the smallest measure, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I think I'm going to bring this to a close. I just want to encourage you, youth. We love you. I get excited about youth. I remember some of it's departing from me, but I look and I behold the tremendous energy, the tremendous potential, the tremendous things that God can use you for when your heart is a prepared heart, when you are a full surrender, a complete sacrifice before Him. I want to encourage you to let God reveal to you any areas of your life through your teachers, through your authority, through the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, May God reveal to you your heart, and may you be willing to do business with God this week. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, and know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. We're not presenting this to be condemning tonight. We're presenting this to be an encouragement. God is here. God is willing. Heaven is waiting. I praise Thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill Thy word. We've been reading it tonight. Romans chapter 2. Fulfill Thy word in these young people and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant me desire to magnify Thy name. Not desire to connect with this world, but desire to magnify Thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly Thine. Fill my poor heart with Thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender. Lord, with me abide. I want to encourage us. I want to give an invitation for where God may be laying His finger in some area on your heart. Why don't we all stand, and the song leader, if you can start number 517, I believe. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. I believe that's in the Martin songbook. 517 in the Martin songbook.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love.
When they really do give God liberty, when it's not just words, it's the genuine cry of their heart. Anything, Lord, anything. There's a guarantee that comes with that. I want you to know what it is. When a person gives God liberty, when they really do, here's the guarantee. He will take it. God is faithful. Tonight, give God liberty. Let's keep singing.
Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy wall, your throne. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet his treasure store. Take myself and
pray. Holy, anointed, almighty God, perfect in righteousness, O God, may we have the hope of Christ in our hearts tonight, knowing that he that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as Jesus Christ is pure. Father, if you've made us as righteous as you are, as your Father is, if we are the righteousness of God in you, may we hold back nothing. May you have complete liberty. It's the least that we can do. We worship you tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Take these hearts that have come forward, work in their life, Father. Work in the lives of those who have not come, who are halting between two opinions. May you have liberty this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.